my favorite teachers in high school were Mr. Sutter and Mr. Hart. I had Mr. Sutter for 10th grade biology, and I had Mr. Hart for 11th grade history. Both were incredibly passionate about their subjects, but the two guys couldn't have been more different. Here's a picture of Mr. Sutter and a picture of Mr. Hart. You know how they say a picture's worth a thousand words? Well, here you go. All right, what you see is what you get. Mr. Sutter, he was crazy. He'd stand on tables, he'd stand on desks, he'd stand on chairs, and you can see how old he was. Right? But that didn't stop him. He'd wear strange shirts that never matched his ties. He was famous for giving names to either parts of the body or parts of the flower. For example, he'd give names to the parts of the cell. You had ribe, the ribosome, and the mighty mitochondria. He'd give names to the parts of the flower, Sammy Stamen and Pistol Pack and Mama, like stuff I still remember today. He would also sing these little ditties to help you remember stuff. I remember this one about ATP. He would sing, ATP, ATP, you and me, ATP, energy for your body, energy for your body, ATP, ATP. He'd actually sing songs about himself. It was one song he'd always sing about himself. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, and when you're up against Sutter, you rot, rot, rot. And we had no idea what that meant, but that's what he would do. He had one song that he would sing where he would sing the first part and the whole class had to complete the second part in unison, enthusiastically. He would sing, A Day Without Sutter, and we would all have to respond, Is Like Bread Without Butter, and if we didn't do that, like, class couldn't start. The guy was unreal. He talked about all the mermaids who fell in love with him and the many affairs he had with Egyptian queens. He was an absolute blast, a riot, but it was obvious he loved his subject and he loved his students. And then you've got Mr. Hart. Yeah, and what you see right there is exactly what you get. Stoic, always wearing a suit, reserved, always very prim and proper, never raised his voice, would always lecture from behind the lectern. Guy was incredibly gentle and kind. He was the kind of guy you think students would run all over, but they never did because I think they knew how much he loved them and how much he loved what he did. He had an odd voice and a way of talking that sounded a little bit like this. He also had a bunch of sayings. One of my favorites was this one. Well, Don, half a loaf is better than none. Let's not muddy up the waters. Let's get down to brass tacks and get to the key details of the event. One of my favorite ones he would say was when you were having a debate and somebody was agreeing with somebody else, he'd say, Joe, are you paddling in Don's boat? Again, a guy who loved his students and loved his subject. But every day with Mr. Hart was exactly the same. You would come in, you would sit down, he would go to the lectern, he'd open up his manila folder, and he would begin to read the notes for that day's class. Every day, same thing. Day after day after day. So you could imagine the shock that came to all of us the one day we all sat down, and he walked up to the lectern without his manila folder and recited these words from memory. Some boys kiss me, some boys hug me, I think they're okay. If they don't give me proper credit, I just walk away. They can beg and they can plead, but they can't see the light, 'cause the boy with the cold hard cash is always Mr. Right. 'Cause we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. You know that we are living in a material world, and I am a material girl. And we were all just like, what just happened? He just quoted a Madonna song by memory. How does he even know that song? remember, this was in the days before the internet. You couldn't play a song on demand. You couldn't look up the lyrics yet. Somehow, the song had only been out like 5 weeks, and he already had it memorized. How did he do that? Did he own the cassette? Was he like spinning Madonna vinyl at home? Was he like cruising down the road to Top 40 radio? Our minds were blown. How in the world could he possibly know this song? And why in the world was he reciting it to us? I'll be honest, every time I hear that song to this day, I can't help but picture him doing that. At the last high school reunion I went to, that was one of the topics that came up all the time. Hey, you remember the time Mr. Hart recited Madonna to us? The reason why he read us the song was, number one, to get our attention. And boy, did that work. But number two, we were starting a unit on materialism. And we were talking about how material things drive and shape and influence economic forces. But here's the thing. Material things don't only influence economies. They can also influence our heart. There's something about living in a material world that gets our mind off of the spiritual one. We live in both. But there's something about living in a world of material things, things that you can touch, things that you can see, that takes our focus off of the things that you can't touch and you can't see. But here's the thing. Just because we live in a material world does not mean that we have to be materialistic. In other words, being focused on material things, being passionate about material things, pursuing material things. We don't have to be materialistic because we live in a material world, and that's what this series is all about. The dangers that can come from living in a material world and becoming materialistic. The Bible talks about these dangers, things like greed and idolatry and worry and oppression and coveting and vanity and false security and this tendency we have to get focused on the material things, to get our mind off of the important stuff and onto the less important stuff. The warnings are all throughout Scripture, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a look at a number of them, a number of different Scriptures that address this issue. And just in case you think this is just like a modern-day issue because, you know, of iPads and iPhones and smartwatches and flat screens, that's not the case. We're going to actually start back in the Old Testament so that we can see it's not the material things that are the issue. In fact, many times, those are just the gifts. The problem is our heart. If you remember, the Israelites were in slavery in Egypt for hundreds of years, but they'd finally been set free. And now they were free to go and receive the land that they had been promised by God centuries before, the promised land, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. The land they were about to inherit was flowing with riches beyond their greatest hopes. But on the way between slavery in Egypt and the promised land, they spent a significant amount of time in the wilderness or in the desert. They spent that time eating manna, which was God's provision for them, food from heaven to provide for their needs during their time in the wilderness. It's during this time between slavery in Egypt and entering the promised land that the Israelites spent time in the wilderness. And if you've been a part of our studies on Wednesday nights, we've done a number of Ray Vanderland series, and he talks about that period of time, saying that that time wasn't so much about getting the Israelites out of Egypt as much as it was getting Egypt out of the Israelites. And now that work has been done, and they're about to enter into the promised land. But before they do, they get a warning. And here's the warning. It comes in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you didn't provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, then, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When you finally get to the land that God promised you, when you finally get to the land that God will give you, don't forget who gave it to you. don't forget how you got there. When you drink from the wells that you didn't dig, when you harvest from the fields that you didn't plant, when you live in cities that you didn't build, when you enjoy all of the good things that you yourself did not provide, be careful. Careful that you don't forget God. See, God knew. God knew our tendencies to get distracted by material things. God knew that these things had the potential to steal their hearts. And he knew these things could take their affections and their focus away from him. So he warns them, be careful. Be careful when you're surrounded by all of this material wealth. Be careful that these things don't prevent you from fully loving me. Because remember the command he gave them just earlier in the chapter, a few verses back? He said to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. But these material things, the wells and the houses and the vineyards, right? They're going to put those commands in jeopardy. They were supposed to love God with all their heart and soul and strength. But God knew the potential for that allegiance to be split, where their love might begin to drift toward the wonderful things that God had given him and not on God himself. And that's the danger. You see, they were wonderful, gracious gifts. They were gracious gifts from God. But our hearts have this tendency to love the gifts more than the giver. And our hearts and our soul and our strength are all focused on the stuff. We love the stuff. We love the gifts. So what starts to happen is all of our strength and all of our focus is set on pursuing the gifts and maintaining the gifts and keeping the gifts. And our hearts drift from loving the giver of the gifts. So God warns them, careful of that drift. Right? It's going to be a temptation. That's the struggle with living in a material world. You can very easily become materialistic and lose sight of God. You can very quickly lose focus and start pursuing the wrong things with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. One of my favorite studies that we've done as a church since I've been here is one of the Man Up studies we did where we looked at the idols in a man's life. And it's not just the idols in a man's life. I think it also applies just to mankind in general. In the study, we talked about the difference between surface idols and deep idols. Like, surface idols are those things like money and sex and materialism, like those kind of things. Those are the surface idols. But there are deeper idols that drive those idols, that influence those idols. Those are the deep idols, the idols of comfort, control, and power. See, that's what we really crave. That's what we really desire, comfort, control, and power. So we seek those things in a lot of different ways, like achievement, overeating, alcohol, romance, money, right? We use those things, those material things, to give us a feeling of comfort or a feeling of control or a feeling of power. And we end up chasing all of those things, but we end up chasing them in the wrong places. We make them idols. And instead of finding our comfort in him and our power in him and trusting the one who has control, we end up seeking those things, comfort and control and power in material things. And then we begin to put our trust in them over our trust in God. That's the warning. And what's worse is we begin to then find our satisfaction in those things. And we begin to drift because we're not finding our satisfaction in him. Again, look at what it says here. He says, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. When you're no longer in want, when you're no longer in need, when you find your satisfaction and your contentment and your fulfillment and your gratification in these things and not in me, be careful. Be careful you don't begin to love these things with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. Again, there's nothing wrong with the gifts. They're a tremendous blessing from God. As we go through the series, we're going to see the Apostle Paul, when he looks at material gifts or material things, he looks at them as gifts from God, like they're part of God's grace. We're going to see in a few weeks that the Greek word that Paul uses here is this word charis, which just means grace and kindness. These gifts that we've been given are a part of God's grace and kindness. They're evidence of the very goodness of God. but they can be a source of temptation to our misguided hearts. See, the command to love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength can be tested by material things. They can be tested when we have a lot of material things, and they can be tested when we don't have a lot of material things. See, you can be incredibly materialistic and still have little. It's not about how much you have. It's about what your focus is. It's about what you place value on. It's about what you're concerned about or what ultimately satisfies you. And whether you have a lot or a little, you can be materialistic. You can have your heart set on material things. You can be passionate about those things. You can be pursuing those things. That can be the ultimate goal. And it doesn't matter whether you have little or much. The loving of our Lord God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength can be tested by material things, whether we have a lot or a little. Look at what the writer of Proverbs says. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Probably one of my favorite Proverbs in all of Scripture here. He asks God two things. Listen to what he asks for. Two things I ask you, God. This is Proverbs 30, 7 through 9. Two things I ask you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. And here come his two requests. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's his first one. Here's his second one. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. See, he knew the danger. He knew the temptations that come from living in a material world. He knew the danger of having too much. I might disown God, say, who's God? Don't need him. Or you might have the problem of having too little, in which case you might be motivated to do things you shouldn't do to obtain these material things and dishonor the name of God. See, he understood that whether you had a lot or a little, there's danger. There is danger in finding your satisfaction in material things, and there is danger in pursuing your satisfaction in material things. See, material things can never bring you what your heart truly desires. Only God can do that. And so this is a great warning to the Israelites, and this is a great warning to us. Look again at what God says is coming in this land, right? He said, this is a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And in it, he says, it's going to be a land with large, flourishing cities, houses filled with all kinds of good things, wells that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant. Do you know how good that would sound to a group of people who had been wandering around in the desert as nomads for 40 years? Like, do you know how good this sounds? Wells that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive groves and houses and flourishing cities. Do you know how good this would sound? And do you know how easy it would be to forget who gave you the gifts? Do you know how quickly you could forget to have a humble and thankful spirit for all that you've been given? Do you know how quickly you might begin to find your satisfaction in material things and not in the giver of the material things? Do you know how easy it is to quickly forget your experience of adversity as soon as you begin to experience prosperity and plenty? Do you know how easy it is to make comfort your idol? And you do, because you live in a material world. You know how easy it is to forget who gave you the gifts. You know how quickly you can forget to have a humble and thankful spirit for all that you've been given. You know how quickly you might begin to find your satisfaction in the material things and not the giver of those things. You know how easy it is to quickly forget what it's like to experience adversity as soon as you begin to experience prosperity. You know how easy it is to make comfort your idol, because you live in this material world. And you know in this material world, it is very easy to lose focus. It's very easy to lose focus and get focused on the material world and not the spiritual one. It's very easy for us to become materialistic, that's our passion, that's what we pursue, that's what we value. It becomes very easy to forget that all that we have was given to us by God as an act of grace. They're gifts. And it becomes very easy to love and pursue God's gifts with all of our heart and soul and strength, above loving and pursuing God with all of our heart, soul, and strength. So be careful. Be careful in this material world that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you up out of slavery, so that you could be set free in Christ Jesus to love God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. Amen.